And now, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, one of the more frustrating feelings for me is to have a problem in need of a solution and to hear from my mouth or the mouths of others, "I got nothing." Have you ever been in that situation? Maybe it's at work and there's a big project or a challenge and the boss gathers everyone together and looks at you and says, "What do you got?" And you're like, "I got nothing. I got nothing." Or maybe you're really burdened about something in the community or the world or in your family and someone asks you how you're going to help and you realize, "I got nothing." Nothing can be such a hopeless word sometimes. You go to the doctor's office or the ER and the doctor says to you, "I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do or could do." Or you leave the house or the place you're temporarily staying looking for work or housing and you come home to that dreaded question, "Any luck today?" Nothing. Well, before our text today, the 12 disciples had been sent by Jesus out on a mission. And Jesus had given them power and authority over all demons and to cure sicknesses. And he had authorized them and appointed them to go proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And when Jesus sent them out, he said to them, "You are to take nothing. No staff, bag, bread, money, not even extra clothes. And where you're welcomed, stay. And when you're not welcomed, just shake the dust off your sandals and keep on going." And the disciples obeyed. And the scripture tells us they proclaimed the goodness of the kingdom and that they healed the sick. All of it starting with nothing. I mean, can you imagine what a rush that might have been? To be called out to work miracles with nothing and then to see those miracles happen. And then right after that, scripture tells us that they returned to Jesus and to this great crowd of people being healed and hungry. And Jesus looks at them and says, "You take care of them. Get them something to eat." And the disciples look at each other and they look at Jesus and they say, "With what? We have nothing." The dust from the miracles missions that they were just on was still on their sandals, and they had forgotten what Jesus can do with nothing. Nothing sounds kind of hopeless to us too, doesn't it? But sometimes, nothing is something. Last week, someone was telling me about a lady who brought two very sick dogs into the vet clinic. And they needed a lot of help, and she could not afford it. And she paid what she could, and she left. And that there was a man there in the clinic as well with his pet. And when he went up to the desk to pay for his pet, having overheard the conversation, he told the staff that he wanted to pay for her bill too. And that bill was over $600. And he paid it. And the staff were shocked. But could you imagine what that woman's reaction was? When the staff called her to tell her what had happened, and in shock and amazement, she asked, but what do I owe? And they said, "Nothing. You owe nothing. The debt has been paid in full." Or when I was little and I was scared of the dark, and my parents would come into my room at night finding me still awake, and they'd say, "What are you afraid of, Melissa?" And I would tell them all the things I imagined that could happen in the dark of the night. And they'd tuck me in tight, snug as a bug in a rug, and say with compassion, "There's nothing you have to be afraid of, Melissa. Nothing." I read the story not too long ago of a church that had Confirmation Sunday, and the students that were to be confirmed were to memorize part of Romans, Paul's letter to the church in Romans, and then recite it on that Sunday to the congregation and the family that was gathered. So that Sunday came and all the students were robed and ready, and the teacher asked the first student, "George, what can separate you from the love of God?" And George recited from Romans 8, "I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." George beamed. His parents were proud. The teacher moved on to the next, "Mary, what shall separate you from the love of God?" And Mary recited Romans 8 as well. And things were going well, but the audience was beginning to get a little nervous because at the end of the line was sweet Rachel with a bright smile and full of grace. But could a child who lives with Down syndrome recite Romans 8 too? And finally, the teacher got to her and said, "Rachel, what can separate you from the love of God?" And that big smile came across her face, and she said one word, "Nothing." Nothing. Jesus told his disciples, "You give them something to eat." And the disciples said, "We have nothing. Nothing but 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, if we were in youth group and I was still the youth pastor, this is where I would tell a joke about what Jesus can do with small butts. But since I'm not in youth group, I won't tell that joke. I will say this, though. What looks hopeless to us looks hopeful to Jesus. What looks hopeless to us looks hopeful to Jesus. Jesus shows them just what he can do with nothing. The gospel miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that's recounted in all 4 gospels. There are some variations between those 4, one being that the lunch is attributed to a little boy only in the Gospel of John, but there are also some common themes among all 4 accounts. Jesus goes to a certain place and is met by a crowd numbering at least 5,000, because the text says 5,000 men, but women and children were there as well, but just not counted in the number. There's a need to feed the crowd. Only 5 loaves and 2 fish are available. The people are told to sit. Jesus takes the bread and offers a blessing. The food is distributed. All people eat until their hunger is satisfied. And 12 baskets of leftovers are collected. Thousands gather at a remote location in a place where Jesus taught and healed them. And when it came time for that evening meal, there was nothing for people to eat except these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And from these, Jesus provided food in abundance for all, and they were well fed, and there were still leftovers afterwards. And this was a meal that Jesus didn't attend or was invited to, like many other of the meals we're studying in this sermon series. This is a meal Jesus hosted. This was Christ's meal. Luke tells us that when the crowds found out about it, they followed Jesus, and Jesus welcomed them. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed to be healed. Welcoming is an action of a host. And Luke's gospel, he's very fond of hospitality. And he includes Jesus' teaching on what it means to be a host in chapter 14, where Jesus teaches and says, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." See, on that hillside, Jesus practiced what he preaches, welcoming all 5,000 plus for a meal, where out of compassion, Jesus takes what the disciples call nothing, looks up to heaven, blesses it, and gives it to the disciples. He tells them that they should go on and give it to the crowd, and all, regardless of gender and status and ability and position, all are fed until they are satisfied. And there was abundance left over. And while the feeding of the 5,000 is a story about Jesus' compassion for sure, it is also a powerful demonstration of the kingdom of God come near. Jesus provides. All are fed and nourished by Jesus. All are welcome and all are in need. And there is more than enough for all. It was also a taste of the familiar story of God providing manna for the children of Israel as they journeyed through the desert. And it had the aroma of the Old Testament prophecies, like this one in Isaiah, where it says, "In Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. And there he will remove the gloom, cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears." Nothing can separate us from the love of God, for the Lord has swallowed up death forever. And when someone asks you or me if there's anything that can separate us from the love of God, we'll remember sweet Rachel and say with confidence, nothing. There is nothing. You see, in the beginning of God's grand story, there was nothing. But God took the nothing and made something abundant and beautiful. And then the arms of Abraham and the womb of Sarah held nothing as they neared the end of life. No children, no heirs. But then God took nothing and made a beautiful people. And then the people struggled in captivity with no freedom, no restoration. But God took that nothing and he created new beginnings and fresh starts for the people of God. And then God entered our world, becoming nothing and coming as a baby. Jesus grew in every way and fed and healed and taught about the kingdom of God he was announcing. And then he threatened the empire and was murdered upon the cross. But then God took what looks hopeless to us, death itself, and created victory over it forever. What looks hopeless to us looks hopeful to Jesus. Right now you might feel in your life that you have very little to offer. Even sometimes we hear ourselves or others saying, "I've got nothing left to give." And sometimes we say that, "I've got nothing left to give," and we believe in our hearts, "I'm nothing myself." But my friends, what looks hopeless to you looks hopeful to Jesus. That is the story of faith. If God can take the formless void and create the beauty and splendor of the multiverses, how much more can God do in us? And if God can take the empty arms of an aging couple and make heirs that number the stars in the sky, how much more can God do in us? And if Jesus can take what the disciples offered, which was nothing, and feed the crowds with abundance left over, how much more can God do through our offerings? And if God can take the nothing of death and create a doorway to eternal life and a new heaven and earth, how much more can God do with what we feel is dead in our lives and our world? What looks like nothing to us, Jesus can take and break and bless and give back to us, not for our self-focused privilege or pleasure, but for the glory of God and the good of the world. Now, for those of us that's so familiar with the story of the 5,000, We often find ourselves in certain parts of the story, and it's almost always we see ourselves among the disciples or the little boy who brought his little offering and God blessed. But you know, sometimes we're sitting on the hillside with the 5,000 because we're coming hungry and broken and in need of a healing and miracles in our life, and we need what Jesus offers. We need his hope. And we find that there is more than enough for us, that we too can be filled to satisfaction by Jesus. Because out of compassion, Jesus meets us as host of this meal, of this life, and he meets our needs and our hope. And then Jesus invites us to join him in hosting this feast of the kingdom in the life that we live together in the here and now, learning from Jesus what it means to be a host, what it means to welcome all people, no matter where they've come from, what they struggle with, no matter who they are. We are demonstrating the kingdom of God in the here and now as we host one another at meals with food and meals of hope. Nothing sounds hopeless to us sometimes, doesn't it? But sometimes hope is a good thing. And sometimes nothing is a very good thing. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And there is nothing you can do to earn or deserve God's love. The debt has been paid. It's been freely given to us. And like the lady at the vet clinic whose debt was paid, you owe nothing. Your debt's been paid in full by Christ, and that is grace. And may that grace be something that we give gratitude for and that we also extend to others as freely as it's been given to us. Whatever may look hopeless to you in your life right now or in our world today, remember that we bring it to Jesus because what looks like nothing to us is everything to Jesus. And what looks hopeless to us looks hopeful to Jesus.